You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, I'm really, really fortunate to be able to share stories, experience, knowledge and lots of expertise with you, the listener, from our local experts. And this week's going to be a really exciting one. We're talking about one of my favourite topics, human resources. But particularly today, we're talking about de-escalating workplace disputes, which is such an important thing for any business. So to do that, we're joined by three local experts, three fantastic local experts. Heidi Black of Heidi Black HR, Ian Farrington of ProDev UK, and Alex Walker of Flint Change. This is the Business Brunch. We'll be introducing our three guests after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, you're in for a treat today. So today we're talking with three amazing local businesses, and we're going to be talking about human resources, but particularly de-escalating workplace disputes. So let's start by introducing our three experts. Let's start with you, Heidi, if that's okay. For those who don't know you, tell them all about you and indeed Heidi Black HR.
Yeah, I, for the last 4.5 years, have been running an HR consultancy, helping SMEs with everything relating to their people. I also am a workplace mediator and I also support HR professionals. So I am everything HR, if you like. I exist in that world.
Amazing. Next up, Ian.
Well, thanks, Ben. So I've been working independently now for about 5 years and I work with my clients to help them work out and then through their next step, whether that's for themselves, their business or their teams. And doing that using coaching, training, mentoring, consultancy, and for the true insomniac, there's even a book. But it's all about adapting to the needs of the client to help them when they're looking to move on or pivot in some way.
Amazing. And a very good book too. And last but certainly not least, Alex.
Good morning. My name's Alex Walker. I have been working independently for 10 years now with a background in HR. And I do three things, culture change, leadership development, primarily at an executive level, and board effectiveness. So working through with large boards, particularly regulated boards, whether their board is effective. And my role in that is focused on the people, culture, dynamics of the board, customers and stakeholders.
Amazing, amazing. Lots to unpack there over the next hour. But before that, you've kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning, Alex, as have Heidi and Ian later in the show. But set a high bar. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
My song choice is Ed Sheeran's new song, Sapphire. It's so energetic. It has a little bit of Bollywood in it. I love the energy and the diversity of it. And I regularly find myself dancing in the kitchen.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, today we're talking about human resources, and particularly de-escalating workplace disputes. So firstly, I'm going to start with quite a big question, if that's okay. And Heidi, I'm going to pick on you first. What is a workplace dispute? How do you define a workplace dispute?
They really can range from, you know, that bubbling two people just not getting along to a full scale loss of productivity, you know, really refusing to work together, you know, stalling your business. But it can escalate, you know, so there's various stages. But a workplace dispute, usually from an HR perspective, is something that's then causing disruption to your business. It's causing an issue, it's stopping productivity, and it's just causing a distraction from the cause, the root cause, what it is your business is actually wanting to be doing.
And Ian, I'm just going to come to you if that's okay. Workplace disputes, as brilliantly described by Heidi, can happen to anyone because we're all people. What do you see as, I guess, the point where you start to see a workplace dispute? Are there signs that often they can happen? Are there things you can do as organizations to avoid them happening in the first place?
We will talk, no doubt, in the course of the morning about some of the tools we might use once things break down. And actually, I'm a bit of an advocate for preemptive de-escalation because the same tools work beforehand as well. And why I'm prefacing with those comments is because actually, you can predict some disputes from the way that culture doesn't work, from the way that we don't delegate, we abdicate, from the way that we don't have clarity in what our roles and boundaries are for a given task or in a given situation, from the way that we don't actually support our people in stepping into the right role at the right time, and from the way we communicate. And so what kind of follows from what I'm saying there is actually you start to see some interesting signs around people who are normally involved, sort of sitting back, becoming distant. People showing signs of stress and irritation when normally they wouldn't. People forever looking for confirmation and validation when again, normally they wouldn't. And keeping checking what's going on. All of these are those little pointers of uncertainty or irritation that's already there and starting to build. And ideally, if we're attending to those, into the space of the leader manager, we should be because people are our key asset. We should be attending to those, dealing with them, and then of course you mitigate before anything actually happens. When we don't, those things tend to compound each other. And then people end up throwing something horrible over the wall, hiding, saying it's your fault, sort it, as though somehow that's a professional way to behave.
Diplomatically pert. Alex, I'm keen to come here to you and talk about culture, as I know that that's one of your specialist areas. Where does culture fit into this conversation?
I think it's absolutely key. I would probably say that. But, conflict happens everywhere. We're humans. It happens all over our lives. And none of us really find it that easy. I work with boards where there's conflicts and there's difficulty. And you might go to the chair of a very large board and say, have you had this conversation? And they say, gosh, no, of course not. Why would I do that? It would cause an issue. So it's really important that we acknowledge that this happens everywhere. And as humans, we need the sort of tools and the resilience to work through it. But the culture, it, as a starting point, enables us to have permission, common language, and conversations, transparent and open conversations that allow us to say, actually, we have a difference of opinion here, but it's okay in this culture to have that difference of opinion, and it's okay for us to talk through it and to use our tools to work through a solution that's right. And actually, a lot of the research shows that the differences in organizations are really important. It's important that we have people who come from different perspectives and have different views and different lenses of life. So actually, the culture allowing us to harness those differences and create some strong word, but conflict or challenge or difference, and then being able to work through it in a really appropriate way is actually fundamental to what our organization requires, in particular if it's in growth. So the culture is really important to allow that permission of these conversations to happen and to not be very uncomfortable and moving ultimately to that escalation point.
Such interesting points. And Heidi, just in terms of workplace conflicts, sometimes they don't really come to the surface. They result as a recruiter, as I see, I regularly talk to candidates who are in the market because they are being shouted at work, or they don't like this process or this. And sometimes their employers have no idea. How can you encourage your staff to be really open. And I appreciate if we're looking at different personality profiles or communication types, it's going to vary here. But what are some of the things to consider?
Think, I mean, I just initially just want to kind of agree with both what Alex and Ian said. It's the two things that come out. It's remembering people are humans and conversations, and that is a something I seem to feel like I repeat in my job so often with my clients. It's kind of remember they're humans, remember they're individuals, and talk to people. And I think, like Alex said, that is so much of a culture. So it's encouraging that safety feeling that I'm not going to be judged if I speak. I'm not going to be, oh, well, I didn't say that. I've had conversations with people in the past where, I mean, we're going back a little bit, but not that many years, where someone said, oh, I would not consider telling them I've been off with mental health issues because they'll judge me, and I will never get my promotion or I'll never come back from that. The world has changed, thankfully, for the better. But during COVID and post-COVID, I think that blurring between personal lives and work lives has dramatically changed. We're coping with an awful lot in the workplace. And I think that idea that you can speak and not be judged is still being learnt, if you like. So it can be encouraged, but it's quite slow. But one of the simple things I'll put in place with my kind of managers that I'm working with is having regular check-ins, having a space to just sit and talk. Don't call it an appraisal, don't call it a one-to-one, don't call it a kind of anything formal. I'm just having a bit of time with the person that works with me and talking to them so that they feel that there is an opportunity in a space to say, this is annoying me, or this is, I'm struggling with this, and you can work through it. Is something that just needs to be second nature, but it isn't for a lot of people. So there's support needed, there's training, there's, teaching some people how to listen. Because it's all well and good saying that, but if you're not a good listener by nature, and we are all humans and as say all individuals of different types, then just saying, well, we need to sort of talk more. But it's also knowing talking is fine, but it's what do I do with that? Have I now opened a Pandora's box that I now need to know what to do with? So for me, if everyone can be taught more effective communication and without judgment, and feel supported in that, it's not always going to work to reduce conflict because some people will keep it locked in and then something triggers them. But it will go a long way.
Really, really, really interesting. And a question that that any of you could pick up, or all three of you could pick up, is just that communication. Because I think that often a lot of things in business, it's the fear of that first step, whether we're talking about setting up a business or having that difficult conversation or giving that feedback that we're not looking to offend anyone, but we're looking to give that feedback. What's your advice in terms of how to approach a subject or have that communication? And Ian, do you want to maybe go first? And I'm keen to hear everybody's view on that one.
Well, I suppose picking up first on Heidi's point, if culture is the heart of an organization, then communication is its blood system. And we kind of need to understand that, and therefore we need to be quite good at it, because when the circulation starts to fail, bits die and drop off. And we're none of us as good as we should be. And so I think there are some basic mindset things that begin with, actually, I need to understand that communication is about creating shared meaning. And that meaning might be as small as we're both quite sad because we support Aston Villa, or it could be quite major as this is the strategic plan for the next 10 years. Doesn't really matter at what scale we're talking about, it's still that business of creating shared meaning. So let's go into it with the right mindset. Let's go into it with the mindset, if we want something to happen, then either I or the person I'm talking to is going to have to do something and possibly do something different. They've probably got more chance of doing that right if we have the conversation before it needs to be done rather than after. So it must always be better to talk early. It really must. And then I think two other very quick ones, so the others can have a go too, is one, Heidi's point, active listening. A key skill. We're not really taught it in school. We're barely taught it even on MBA programs, but it's absolutely critical, particularly for those leadership or management role. But in tandem with that, learning to speak to an audience and not ourselves. So one of the things that we tend to do is we project our personality out. Of course we do, that's natural. But that means I will, by default, speak in the way that makes sense to me. And I'm one of those sort of quite technical, evidence-based, big picture kind of thinkers, which is great. You're talking to someone who's more in a, I need to do things step by step in a logical space. If I talk in my normal way, I'm going to leave them cold. And then I'll walk away blaming them for not being very enthusiastic and not understanding. But it was my fault for not actually speaking to them in a language that they could work with. So we need adaptability. So, early, openly, clearly listen, communicate to them in their language. I think a problem might.
Amazing. No, really great points. I mean, Alex, what's your take?
So I think all really relevant, and I think just in terms of building on that, I do think it is quite tough to be a manager right now. If you go back to Heidi's point about mental health, we're not necessarily training managers around how to communicate around really complex and difficult subjects. So I do think it is important to help managers with a common language and with frameworks that enable them to do that. And again, just picking up on Ian's point around understanding your audience, there's a Dr. Brené Brown is a particular favorite of mine. She talks about armored leadership and daring leadership. And just very briefly, in daring leadership, she talks about being curious, ask questions. The power of questions in communication is something that I never fail to understand why we miss as humans. Understand what that person's looking for, what that person needs. The more questions you ask, the more informed you are, that enables you to take it further. I think it's okay as a manager to say, do you know, I'm not completely sure what we're going to do here. You know, in the leadership development programs I run, I say to them, be human. We're all human. You're dealing with something really difficult and really complex. It's okay to say, even I'm finding this about a bit hard. And actually, you know, let's think about how we're going to take it forward, rather than the armored leadership, which is, I have to know the answer here. I feel a bit uncomfortable. Physiologically, I'm tensing up. I'm going to say something that probably isn't going to be the right thing for this individual. So that really kind of human take, being curious and understanding. And just one more point to layer on to Ian's point around understanding your audience is, and again, everybody's talked about it, is the difference in humans and how good that is actually. That's such a positive. One thing that I think always really resonates in my leadership programs is introverted and extroverted thinkers. So we all process our thoughts differently. I'm a raging extrovert in terms of the way I process information. You may have gathered that already. I don't really think in my head. I think outside of my head, and I get my energy from stuff like this, from talking to people and from hearing other experts and thinking, gosh, that's such a good point. I need to raise that. But other people, they think in their head and they are connecting that to others. So Ian might be an introvert. And they're connecting it to other frameworks and models that's going on for them. So you're talking to them as an extrovert, and they kind of look at you, sort of slightly glazed. And you think, what's going on here? Are they ignoring me? Do they not agree with what I'm saying? But actually, it's just really okay. We're just all different. And maybe some additional questions or some silence or some, do you want to come back to this conversation in 10 minutes or 10 days? Is again just really helpful in terms of really understanding that I am different to you and that's okay. So being curious, I think, is my key point about what that individual needs and therefore what you can do to support them.
No, really good points. We need to have a song. So I'm going to pick on Ian next. You've also kindly chosen a song for our listeners. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
Well, I thought the best one for the theme today was a bit obvious, really. So it's War by Edwin Starr.
Discussing topics that impact local businesses and their owners. This is the Business Brunch.
Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network, the friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Sign up to our mailing list at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that very fitting song, probably more on escalating rather than de-escalating, we've been speaking to our three experts all about the world of people. And really, I think more than the topic, actually, I think we've really been talking about how can we really embrace differences and embrace human, which I think is so important in the world of people. Heidi, I know something that you do such a wonderful job of is supporting HR professionals. Because I think that within a lot of organisations, the go-to, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that's HR's responsibility. HR will fix that. And actually, if you're a small organisation, often you're not trained to be the person who leads people. So I guess in terms of escalations and conflicts, what is HR's role and what is the role of the wider organisation, our people, when there is a conflict? So let's focus on when conflicts happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we had an ideal world, which obviously rarely happens, I would say it is the job of HR to support the line manager to resolve any kind of dispute, because they are the person that is at the coalface. They are the person that's actually dealing with that person. And they are the person that's going to have to motivate them and line manage them beyond it. And, you know, I've had years of being in HR and being seen as the kind of the bad guy that always then has to have the difficult conversations. And managers will try and avoid it. And I think it comes back to that. You know, when you're having to have a conversation with somebody about conflict that's escalating, for me, there is, have you got the what I always describe as the groundworks for your business in place, which is the HR policies, procedures, whether it's values, whether it's anything else that means. This is the way I work, is that no conversation you should have should be kind of not be able to be grounded in something. Mm. So, you know, there is an element of, I shouldn't be having a conversation with you out of the blue. You know, if I haven't been having regular conversations with you, that's an issue. If I now have to have a conversation, you know, there is nothing worse, is there, than you're plodding along in your job thinking everything's happy, you're doing a wonderful thing, and your manager suddenly says, I'd like a word with you. I'm sure we've all been there at some point in our career where you think, you've never asked to speak to me before, what have I done wrong? You know, that would be normal. If you, on the other hand, got a manager that says, I have in my calendar every month or maybe every 2 months a 20-minute time where we sit down and have a conversation, and you know that it's coming up next week, and then they raise something, it's never going to be as bad as that. It's a bit like, let's call back into the headmaster's office. Do you know what I mean? Those are the differences. So equipping that manager with, whether it's a values checklist that says, these are the kind of ways I expect you to behave, and you've been doing something that doesn't fit, I feel like I can start a conversation because there is an expectation of a way to behave. And, you know, Ben, I just want to have a chat with you today. You know, we've got this value of unity, and I've just felt like lately, you seem to have been kind of out on a limb or working by yourself. Is there something that you want to talk to me about? So it kind of gives them a little bit of an opener. And I think the job of HR for me is to give you the confidence, because a lot of managers are scared. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I offend them? What if I kind of get it wrong? And I think there's an awful lot of coaching, an awful lot of saying, you know, and like I think Alex said, if you don't know the answer, that is fine. Pause the meeting, but you must go back to them. You know, it's that is not the end of the world to not know. You can't know everything. But I think from an HR perspective, I see my role as I want to give you a, if you like, a legal framework, a business decided framework in terms of values, to be able to frame any conversation that you need to have. So that you feel safe and you feel confident doing it. Because for me, HR then might step in, is let's saying it might be about them. So they need to speak to somebody else, or I need to hear an appeal meeting, or it escalates or something. Or obviously in my case, if it needs to go to mediation, conversations will always dramatically reduce any conflict. But unless I'm living in a different world, conflict still comes up. I don't think we're ever going to remove it. People will withdraw, people will not be honest about what they're feeling for reasons that might come out later, but aren't going to come out in that chat with your line manager. That means something then escalates, explodes, and you have a crisis. So we're never going to, I don't believe we're ever going to live in a sort of world where that doesn't happen. What it'll mean by doing all these great things we've been talking about is reduce the quantity, but recognize that occasionally it will happen. But as I say, for me, HR give you the framework to have conversations, give you the confidence that you're not going to break the law or land yourself in even hotter water. But you should be having it because you're the person that's got to face that person day in, day out. But I will mentor and I will support you and I will guide you through it. And I've role played conversations before managers have had them, but I don't, what I try and fight against is that's a conversation for HR to have. It's like, no, that's you hiding behind something you're afraid of.
No, really, really good insight there. Alex, I saw that you were nodding quite a lot there. And so by all means do give your views, but something else that I'd be really keen to gauge your thoughts on is the I know that you do a lot of work within boards, and one of the real benefits of boards is diversity, but also debate, and being able to bring different perspectives and to challenge. How do you ensure really healthy debate and you've got that environment for really good debate without having conflict? How do you get that balance?
Yeah. And I guess that's why I was nodding away, because Heidi's point about conflict isn't going to go away. And to some extent, in the work that I do, and I'm acknowledging that conflict is a strong word, we want conflict, we want challenge, we have to see that. In particular, where, some of the inverted commas scandals that we've seen in organizations over previous years is perhaps where there hasn't been enough of that debate and enough of that robust challenge in the boardroom and the executive team. So we talk about having, so first of all, that cultural piece, the safety, the permission to have those very open debates is that cultural piece, it becomes key. And then we talk about models of a kind of common language. So there's a lovely podcast by a lady called Kim Scott. It's called Radical Candor. And she talks about having kind of two axes on the four quadrants. One is about the empathy. She calls it, actually, I can't remember what she calls it. I would call it empathy. It's an American podcast. It's about the why. Why am I having this debate? Why am I going to come back in and challenge this? We talk about the difference between intention and impact. So, quite a lot, I would imagine, in the work certainly that Heidi does. People's intention is really good. I'd like to have a word with you, and I've got some feedback to give you about the unity value, but actually, in my head, I know it's because you are actually doing really well, and I think you could be slightly more polished and get more credibility in the organization. But sometimes we don't say that. So actually, what we say is, really like to talk to you about this unity value. You've been a bit, you've been a bit disconnected, and somebody's, so they judge us by the behavior and not by the intention. So, having these kind of common frameworks and common language that we're able to use helps us as boards to say, it is my job to challenge, but I'm doing it in a respectful and constructive way, and ideally in line with our values. So with whatever this organization says is important, I'm challenging you in line with that. One other really quick thing. I'm a bit of a models person, as you can tell. There's a very old model by a guy called Eric Byrne, a lot of work that he did around transactional analysis. And one of the pieces I love is that all of us have three different ego states that we work within. We have parent, adult, and child. And so quite often in my work, I'm very adult, but I find myself going into the hairdressers and I'll put my head under the sink and they'll say, "Is the water at the right temperature?" And it'll be scalding my scalp. And I'll say, "No, it's fine." And I move myself into child and I have absolutely, it's the same at parents' evening. I nod all the time. My daughter says, "Why are you nodding?" And equally, sometimes when we're in conflict and we challenge, we can move into parent. And essentially, what that does and what the model talks about is it can send somebody else into a child ego state so they can react, they can respond in defense. So, one of the things that we talk about is really staying in adult, bringing the grown up into the room and challenging in a way that is right for this business and right for the people around you, rather than that kind of finger wagging parental style, which psychologically for many of us can create that conflict escalation piece that we're all trying so hard to avoid.
Really, really fascinating pieces. Ian, I'm keen to hear your take on those great points made by Alex, because you were also nodding. I love how aligned the three of you are. But also I'm keen for you to build on the exit, because I think sometimes we will be within an organization for 20 years, and our values no longer align, or our aspirations no longer align, or sometimes we will have been promoted to a role that we really wanted the promotion because society tells us promotion is what's successful. But then actually, a lot of that conflict's coming because the role's not necessarily right for us. How do you have those, how do you recognize those challenges, and how do you decide when to exit the conflict or exit the situation?
Thanks, Spencer. I think starting from where Alex and Heidi were, I think probably one thing to nail, given that we're all in violent agreement rather than expressing conflict as a group, we all now live that notion that change is the only constant when it comes to business life. That means at the heart of business is difference. So actually, not only is it for me that conflict is not avoidable, it's actually conflict is at the heart of being a business. And part of the leadership management challenge is how do we shape the environment so that positive conflict works well and supports and grows people, and that negative conflict is managed down and minimized. And there's a set of skills that are should all be in place and happening way before anyone starts getting on the phone to Heidi, going, "Oh Lord, help us, it's all gone terrible." I think also then when we're trying to engage with people, Alex's point about well, Alex and Heidi's point about framing really matters too. And coming back to a point Alex made earlier around that difference between how extroverts and introverts tend to process. Introverts process internally. So if we don't get a bit of warning what the meeting's about, actually, that can make for a very uncomfortable meeting. So, if as a manager or a leader, we're calling a meeting, we need to frame it, we need to prepare it for ourselves, but also for those that we're drawing in. All of those are worth repeating because they're all little markers about this is how things should be running if we're trying to do the right thing and trying to do it well. And if we are finding that actually we're feeling frustrated all the time, well, I've spoken to you, in my own case. It took me a long time to realize I was just in the wrong place. And that actually my values ended up in a very different place than the values of the organization I was working with. But I had months, if maybe not a year or two, of dealing with the unexplained symptoms of that, the irritation, the tiredness, the kind of wondering why things weren't working, the kind of not feeling so committed to doing this wrong or that wrong, before realizing actually there is a pattern here. So part of it is about our own self-awareness, and actually there's a bit of honesty in that space. And for those of us who do coaching, that's actually one of the great values of the space is it is an honest space where you can say to yourself the things that you would never say at work. But to start to work out why things are going awry and whether it's about a temporary inconvenience or discomfort, or whether we are actually scratching at something that is going to be more sustained. And if it's sustained and not really going to work for us, then we need to think about how we exit
No,
as
really
the
good
best
advice.
option. And the key thing as an individual is if we are having that conversation and we're in control of it, and that's always going to end up being a much better conversation than the management team saying the behaviour's just got worse and they're not engaging, we're going to have to take that decision for them. So always better to be in control of that. I think then there's a really important bit of thinking to go through as an individual, which starts with understanding why you want to get away from the situation. So understanding the negatives and those drivers. We then need to put on a brake and then think around, so what do I now want to go to instead? Because certainly, I've worked with a lot of clients who didn't give themselves that time, who were so focused on getting away that they walked into another job that turned out to have exactly the same problems because they were looking behind them instead of ahead. So there's quite a bit of process about changing the mindset in order to manage that exit well. And then there's a whole bunch of really boring stuff to be done around CV preparation. And I'll stop there because the other two need to have their say too. But
Amazing.
it should be something we manage rather than something that becomes a crisis we have to deal with.
Amazing. No, really, really good advice. Heidi, it's your turn to be the radio DJ. You thought you had got off the hook for a moment, didn't you? But you've kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
My choice is a song by Mark Knopfler and it's called Shangri-La. And that was my wedding song, so it means a lot to me. But also, just thinking on the theme, the opposite to wall, let's see if we can find a Shangri-La. Mark Knopfler's Shangri-La, please.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Our business breakfasts start from just £15. Find out more at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, we're absolutely flying through the time. I cannot believe we're at the final stint of the show already. But we've been talking all about human resources, de-escalating workplace conflicts, and really being a great people organization. One of the things that we love to do on this show as kind of like the ending note as such is to leave our guests with a lasting tip. But often it's a short line, but I wanted to have a bit of an extended version, if that's okay, in the final kind of few minutes, and really just leave our guests with, they've got a conflict at work. What would be that real advice in terms of that de-escalation and really getting that next step? Alex, I'm going to pick on you first, if that's okay.
Yes, it is. When I run training sessions around skills to manage having difficult conversations, I always start by asking everybody if they would rather, A, somebody was honest with them, even if it was slightly clunkier than they would like, or B, actually somebody wasn't honest and they had a kind of, I'm going to sort of pussyfoot around this a little bit. And absolutely without fail, people say, I'd rather someone was honest with me. And I think there's some really interesting research around the way we do business in the UK. And we are a little bit, in the radical candor language, it's what they call it, ruinous empathy. I'd like to talk to you about something that you did in this meeting because you had your laptop open. It doesn't really matter to me. It doesn't really bother me, but and I like your cardigan. And actually, by now, everybody's heckles are up. It would have been much easier to have said, this is the action, this is what happened, this is the impact it had, and this is perhaps what we could do moving forward. So I think there's two things. One is let's be honest, but let's be honest within a really constructive and respectful framework so that we are adult in our approach and we are human in our approach.
Great tip. Ian, I'm going to come to you next. I like to change up the order sometimes.
It's all right. I'm going to go two very quick points. So one, actually, we make so many assumptions about what people are thinking, how they're going to behave, why they're behaving, how they're behaving, how we all should behave in our meeting. When it comes to organizational events, meetings, calls, emails, and so on, actually, let's get in the habit about being open about the rules. Because if we all understand the behaviors and responses and attitudes that are expected, a lot of the niggly stuff goes away. The second thing is, once the process starts in dispute, there's a lovely book by Steve Peters called Chimp Paradox. And he's the guy that basically gave us success over a prolonged period in international cycling. And he has this lovely thing around the tripartite brain notion and this idea that we have a human, but we also have a chimp. And the chimp is twice as strong and twice as fast as the human. So when there's a crisis or a problem, the chimp tends to get there first. The chimp is all about energy. The chimp is all about emotion. And emotion is, at that point, is usually the stuff that's getting in the way. So the really important thing in any conflict, any conversation, is actually staying with the evidence. And if the emotion starts getting in the way, it is probably better to take a break. Take a breathe, then come back, and then start to build up again. And that's not to deny or suppress the emotion, but it's to recognize it's part of the situation, not all of the situation. And that will tend to help us get more quickly to an understanding about what's driving both the emotional and intellectual issues that we're trying to deal with.
Amazing, amazing. And last but definitely not least, I'm sure, Heidi, what is your closing tip to end the show?
I think, again, it's just two very brief. One is think about where you're having the conversation. I've worked with people where their work habitat is not an office. I call them into an office and immediately they start getting fidgety, heckles up, everything else, because that's not their, they're in a physical job and you've suddenly put them in a, taken them out their fishbowl and they already feel uncomfortable and you haven't even tried to talk to them yet. So think about location. I've had challenging conversations with people walking around the car park. They've been much easier because they haven't had to use eye contact. They haven't been sat in a chair opposite a table. So think about that. What's going to be conducive to the most natural and productive conversation you're going to have? And secondly, try as hard as you can not to pre-decide the outcome. And that is really hard when you're going into something and we've all been, oh, I've got to have this chat about someone. God, they're so bloody lazy. They've been a nightmare. I want to get rid of them. Actually, try to go, I'm going in to listen. Because sometimes what you hear is a privilege, and what you're told is a privilege. And, I'm lucky to have heard some of those conversations where somebody says something to you and you think, where did that come from? But I need to respond. I need to kind of not look shocked. I need to support them. But that's why they've been behaving like that. And I did not see that. So really important. And it's very hard for us humans not to prejudge an outcome. But think of it as a privilege that you are being, someone is opening up to you. And whatever the outcome is, whether it's an exit, and that could well be, but you should be proud that someone has had that conversation with you.
Amazing, amazing. Great advice as always, and great advice from the three of you. But that is the end of the show. I'm so gutted we couldn't go on for another hour, but unfortunately not. If you have just tuned in today, we've been joined by three absolute experts: Heidi Black of Heidi Black HR, Ian Farrington of ProDev UK, and Alex Walker of Flint Change. We are going to be back next week with some brand new guests talking about a topic impacting on local businesses. As always, just a reminder, you can listen to this show on the radio or online every Sunday at 11 a.m. If you prefer podcasts, do look out for the podcast version, which is available on any major podcast platform and is released on the Monday morning. And if you'd like to see my lovely guests, look out for the video version, which goes out on the Get Radio Facebook page and the website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.